wonder if you have an Advent wreath hanging on your door this year. It's been something of a tradition for my wife and others from our local church to organise a wreath-making event at the beginning of December. But of course this year has had to be different, and instead of our usual session, we did a drive-through click-and-collect wreath-making, and then made wreaths together on Zoom in the evening. Surprisingly, it worked pretty well, to be honest, and more people than usual were able to take part. Morrison's next door were very helpful and gave us bags, and Sheila, who's the community liaison officer, their community champion, came over and helped us with the distribution. And as she was leaving the church, she said something that rather startled me. She said, "Do you know, it's been such a brilliant year." Now, I think that most people would suggest that 2020 has felt far from being brilliant. And it would be better if we could just put it behind us. But what I think Sheila meant was that from her perspective, she has seen the community pulling together in amazing ways this year. Whether it's helping with shopping, calling on the phone, or working together to adapt to the changing circumstances in whatever way we can. So Sheila is someone who had found the silver lining in this dark, rather dark and cloudy year. And it got me thinking about my own attitude to the circumstances we find ourselves in today. A couple of weeks back, I had attended a school governor's meeting, again on Zoom, but I was physically sat in the office at church where there happens to be a purple poster hanging on the wall, which says in bold lettering, "Now is the favourable time." And it showed up very, very clearly in the background of my Zoom meeting, and clearly the other school governors would have seen these words, and I wondered what they thought about it. Because with all that's going on, it doesn't feel like much of a favourable time. We hear of people suffering. We have restrictions to live with. We have to wear these masks. Mine keeps falling off. And I can't meet up as socially as I'd like to. It is a real challenge for all of us. But then I remembered what the Apostle Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians. He wrote in chapter 6, "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, 'In the time of my favour I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you.'" And Paul goes on, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation." And Paul was writing that exhortation when he suffered all sorts of hardships in his life. Indeed, he continues later in that chapter to say, "As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing everything." Wow. So if Paul can write that despite everything he'd been through, that now is the time of God's favour and salvation, then that really is a challenge to us, isn't it? Then surely our mandate through these tough times that we live in is to, with him, say, "Now is the favourable time." In the Old Testament reading that I read from Isaiah, it starts with those words that Jesus took and used as his manifesto when he first began his ministry in his hometown. Jesus unrolled the scroll and said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Now Jesus was born into a world where the harsh Roman Empire occupied Israel, where uprisings were crushed with cruel crucifixions, where the temple was a place of corruption, where the religious leaders just feathered their own nests and they spent their energies on building their own power base. Yet Jesus declared that he'd come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. In spite of these circumstances. Today we're remembering John the Baptist. And John the Baptist lived a hard life, foraging for food. We're told he ate locusts and wild honey, something I'm not sure I ever really fancied. He would be making his clothes from camel hair. And although people came to see him to get baptized, he declared in John 1, 20, verse 23, that his job was simply to announce the coming of Jesus. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. And when he saw the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus at his baptism, he encouraged his disciples to follow John. And if the kingdom of God was arriving, then surely John had a front row seat. He was really prepared to see amazing change in this wonderful year of the Lord's favour for himself. And yet, what happened to John? He was arrested. He languished in prison for criticising Herod's extramarital affair. He even sent a message to Jesus, are you the Messiah, or should we expect somebody else? In other words, why am I stuck in prison, suffering as I am, if you really are the Messiah? What happened to the year of the Lord's favour? But Jesus sent back a message saying, go and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. In other words, you can't measure the kingdom of God by just your own personal level of comfort. Sometimes we will encounter suffering instead. And perhaps all the more so if we are to be greater in the kingdom of heaven. John the Baptist announced the coming of the Messiah. Jesus embodied the coming of the kingdom and the Lord's grace and favour. And then because of his death and resurrection, the Apostle Paul was able to declare that this is indeed now the day of salvation for everyone, everywhere, who will pray and respond to him in their hearts. And despite their own hardships and circumstances, John the Baptist, Jesus, and Paul agree, now is the favourable time. So God has not abandoned us. He has greater things for us to do. And when we trust and obey, he will empower us for this journey, whether it is rough or smooth. So now that we're facing a COVID Christmas, the possibility of further lockdowns in the new year, I just want to encourage you that God's kingdom is not constrained by any virus, any economic recession, or Brexit turmoil. Over the past centuries, during good times and in bad too, God has continued to work out his purposes, and he will bring everything together for good for those who love him. And clearly, our self-reliance, our comfort and our security is really being challenged right now. But as we turn to God, we hear him remind us, as he did to Paul, that my grace is sufficient for you. Do you know my power is made perfect in weakness? I went to Malta during the summer and I was powerfully reminded that Paul's awful experience of a shipwreck resulted in the governor Publius coming to Christ, and in turn, that whole island becoming a wonderfully hospitable Christian community is still thriving 2,000 years later. somehow, Paul experienced God's favour even in the midst of that traumatic and disastrous shipwreck situation. So it seems that poster in the church on the wall may be right. Now really is the favourable time. So in which case we need to ask ourselves, what is our part in his favourable plans? Every follower of Jesus, each and every one of us, who is called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, now has a calling on our lives not to take that grace in vain, but to respond to his immense love by serving others and sharing this good news of God's kingdom and God's favour. As a church, St. Martin's is still in vacancy. World Parish is undergoing reorganisation. It's uncertain times. And this year has been really challenging for leaders, for the clergy, for all of us here. But let's keep reminding ourselves, this is the year of the Lord's favour. His grace is sufficient for us. As we depend upon him, we'll discover our faith will grow, and we will learn that he is trustworthy. So could we go as far as Sheila and to declare that this has been a brilliant year? I'll leave that to you. But let's keep praying for signs of the kingdom. Keep making the way straight for the coming of the Lord. Trust that we will see his faithfulness in wonderful ways this Christmas and in the months ahead. Amen. We're going to have our next hymn now, which is O Come All Ye Faithful. standards we declare our faith in the words of the Lord.